live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. It's the Young Turks. I need you to stand up. I need you to sit down. I need you to get excited. I need you to calm down. Let's have some fun. Cenk Uygur, Anna Kasparian, Casper the Friendly Host. Okay, AK-47, she's back. Do I have it somewhere? No, I don't, so I'll just play this.
My mouth is bigger than facilities.
You're insane.
The last episode of Old School, I had Ben try to guess what that said.
Oh, I heard it. I heard it, yes.
Oh, yeah, because if you don't know, if you didn't watch the Sacha Baron Cohen episode or our discussion of it, you have no idea what this means.
My mouth is bigger than facilities.
I will translate for you. My mouth is big enough for two of these. That was a right winger with a dildo in his mouth trying to fend off a terrorist. Yalla, let's go. Colonel Iran Marad strikes again. Speaking of which, tonight, finally in the post game, the downside of Sacha Baron Cohen and what he did to a right winger in his last episode was so debasing and humiliating that I started to feel bad for the guy. And so,
can you tell me who the right winger is? Is this a public figure or a private citizen?
No, he in between. He the local yokel right wing group.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about it on the postgame. TYT.com/join to join us on the postgame. Lots of big stories today, including the Andrew Gillum race, Bernie versus Trump. That's what's happening in Florida. That's a little microcosm of there. And obviously, it has immediately begun with racism. We, believe it or not, have good news out of California. Any good news in politics is amazing. And finally, in terms of all the things we're going to do, Donald Trump has been declared unconstitutional. Now, it's true. Now, one of the people that defeated Donald Trump is often on the Young Turks. Damn. I wish it was me, man. I wish it was me. But I'm super proud of him. We will explain. Mm. And maybe in the postgame also why J.R. Jackson got blocked on Twitter by Donna Brazile.
J.R. got blocked by Donna
Brazile? J.R. got blocked. Okay, sorry.
Damn,
okay. Did I mention TYT.com/join? That you become a member, you get all of our shows, including the postgame. All right, let's have fun.
All right. We start off with a doozy. Bad decision by Andrew Cuomo in New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo has decided to end an investigation into how the district attorney in New York handled a case of sexual assault that was alleged against Harvey Weinstein. Now, when the whole Harvey Weinstein story broke, there was a recording made by an Italian model where it appeared that Harvey Weinstein admitted to sexually assaulting her. That evidence was then presented to District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. in New York, and he decided not to press any charges or prosecute Harvey. Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
Okay. So that became a bit of a scandal. And then you look into some of the funding that this district attorney's office had received, and they had received $10,000 in donations from the law firm representing Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
So at that point, Governor Andrew Cuomo comes in and says, this is unacceptable. We need to launch an investigation into the DA's office to see what the hell is going on.
We got to figure out what the hell is going on, okay?
He has since reversed that decision.
So there are layers of politics and corruption in this story. So I believe that that Cuomo's decision was political in a couple of different ways. But the most important part of this story is the underlying fundamental part is the corruption of our entire system, right? But the most important political part is what this is going to do to Cuomo, because it looks real bad. If Cynthia Nixon pressed on this open wound, there's some chance that, look, sometimes one issue wins you a whole election. that people get so mad about this that it could cost him. And why did Cuomo do it? Because he can't help himself. So let's give you details and I will explain the different layers.
Okay, so just to repeat myself and make sure that we're clear, the DA's office, Cyrus Vance Jr., the district attorney, had received $10,000 in donations from the law firm representing Harvey Weinstein. There was never any prosecution, okay?
Yeah, and to be clear, he got it a couple months after he declined to prosecute. So I don't know what's worse or better, if you get it ahead of time or afterwards, and if it includes a wink or a nod.
So Andrew Cuomo says we need to investigate this and figure out why the DA decided not to prosecute Harvey Weinstein. But news developed indicating that no, the governor has decided to completely drop the, well, suspend this investigation. And people were wondering why. Now, David Sirota dug into this story and has a possible reason why. And he writes in CapitalInMaine.com, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has halted an investigation into the handling of the Weinstein case just as Bowie's law firm gave Cuomo's campaign $25,000.
So Bowie's is Weinstein's lawyer, or was Weinstein's lawyer until very recently. So he's going around handing out checks to all the people who might prosecute Weinstein. What a nice coincidence for Weinstein. And it turns out they all decide that they are going to drop investigations left and right. This is the third time we're clarifying. Cuomo did not drop an investigation of Weinstein. He dropped an investigation of the prosecutor who would not prosecute Weinstein.
Exactly.
So, but charges and investigations are being dropped left and right as checks are being dropped left and right.
So, and to be extra clear, the investigations into Harvey Weinstein continue. So this is not about Harvey Weinstein anymore. This is about investigating the district attorney and the decision that was made to not initially investigate Harvey Weinstein or prosecute him after these allegations had come forward. Cuomo in March called for the New York Attorney General's office to investigate the handling of the case, which revolved around accusations that Weinstein groped an Italian model. So at the time, Cuomo said, quote, it is critical not only that these cases are given the utmost attention, but also that there is public confidence in the handling of these cases. Unless, of course, I get $25,000 in my reelection campaign, then all of a sudden the public's trust isn't as important. I added that last part, obviously.
All right, let me go to graphic five here, because this is in a lot of ways the most important part of the story, because it gives you the overall picture. In all, Boies and his law firm have given Cuomo's gubernatorial campaigns more than $245,000 since 2009. So let me give you Cuomo's excuse and then I'll break down what I think actually happened. Cuomo says, oh, no, it's since they're prosecuting now, I didn't want to investigate the prosecutor because then the defense attorney could use some of the evidence we uncovered maybe to help Weinstein. Now you can say, hey, you know what, maybe that's a legitimate point as to why they might want to suspend the investigation. But you knew that before. So why now decide to drop the investigation of the prosecutor? Okay, so let's now rewind and tell you what I think are the real motivations here. So Cyrus Vance does not prosecute. He gets a $10,000 check against Weinstein.
That's all it took.
Yeah, and until it blows up. So he's embarrassed because he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar and then decides to prosecute, otherwise his career is ruined, okay? Because Weinstein's such an obvious monster and now everyone knows it. Before, Cyrus Vance knew it because he had all the evidence. Mm-hmm. He just chose not to pursue it. So look at what's wrong with the system. We allow campaign contributions to prosecutors?
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder if that's a system that's going to lead to corruption. Of course the rich will give money to prosecutors not to get prosecuted. I mean, let's just acknowledge how insane that is.
It's Wolf, been acknowledged.
Yeah, wolf-pack.com. If you're not fighting to get money out of politics, what would these oligarchs gonna rule us? I mean, the system is defined by corruption. It's, you don't want to talk about rigged. It's rigged on behalf of the rich by definition. Okay, of course you shouldn't be allowed to give money to a prosecutor. That's insanity, even if it's for his campaign. So now go to Cuomo. Cuomo decides that he's going to investigate Cyrus Vance Jr. Is that because Cuomo is so deeply ethical and he was moved by the fact that Vance wouldn't prosecute? No, they're politicians in the same state and the same party. So, hey, this is a good way to dig my opponent and make sure he doesn't get up, okay? If you're not aware of New York politics history, and there's no reason you should be, let me just fill you in real quick. Cuomo had started another investigation earlier on an unrelated topic. And when the investigation about ethics turned to him, and it turned out he had done some seriously unethical things, he immediately ended the investigation. He said, oh, we're done here. Wait, but they didn't give a report and they were investigating you. It's a Trump-like move. He's like, no, we're done with that. And now we're going crazy over Trump as we should, considering firing Mueller. In essence, Cuomo fired his own Mueller, okay? Mm-hmm. And so now he's like, oh, well, look at I have found ethical problems. I will now investigate this other guy who might one day be a challenger to me, okay? Now, Boyce comes in and goes, hey, remember all that money I gave you? What do you think I gave it for? And plus, I have another $25,000 check for you, okay? So the governor can decide whether they're going to do investigations of the prosecutors, the district attorney, and so many other monumentally important decisions. And we allow people to bribe them. Well, yeah. Boyce can say, and Boyce, look, he's a lawyer. He represents his clients. I get it. And he's a progressive and he's a good guy. And maybe he likes Cuomo. Maybe he gave it because he just loves Cuomo. I don't care. What I care about is a system that says, here's $250,000. And then maybe you do what I tell you to do. Maybe you don't. Well, golly gee, I guess we'll never know.
So, okay. So the vast majority of that money was previously given to Cuomo by the law firm where Boyce is a partner, right? Mm-hmm. The additional $25,000 was the new money that was given to Cuomo after he had launched this investigation against the prosecutors. So then he ends up suspending this investigation. And so, yes, look, we can't definitively say that $25,000 was the factor that led to his decision, right? I speculate that it was. I have reason to believe that it was. And if it's proven that that was the reason why he did it, this could cost him his political career, right? I mean, if Cynthia Nixon plays this the way that we hope she plays it, right? Think about it. He launched this investigation, gets that's all it took, $25,000 to investigate prosecutors, to end the investigation of prosecutors. Like, that's all it took. $25,000 is not a lot of money.
Yeah, no, politicians can be bought pretty cheap. It's actually a great, great investment. So why is this in Capital and Maine? David Soros doing a fantastic job. Why isn't it a headline in New York Times? He's the New York governor. Don't you think it's a little bit relevant? Well, it's because the mainstream media is actually 100% used to corruption. And they view it to be standard course. Like, well, of course, I mean, you give $250,000 to Cuomo and he does exactly what you tell him to, but that's a coincidence, guys. That's a coincidence. So now look, the 245 makes a difference even before you get to the 25 because there's a history of corruption here. We give you money, you do what we tell you. Now they had this comical statement that they put out. A spokesperson for the law firm said neither Mr. Boyce nor anyone from his firm ever discussed Harvey Weinstein or Mr. Vance with Mr. Cuomo or anyone from his office at any time. Of course, you think Boyce, who's one of the best lawyers in the country, is going to be enough of a schmuck to say, now remember, Andrew, this is $25,000 check to buy you. Make sure you drop the investigation. You think Cuomo doesn't know he's Weinstein's lawyer? Okay, so and again, whether you think this particular check is connected to this particular decision is not nearly as important as how deeply, deeply corrupt the system is, mm-hmm. where you can just buy politicians, buy prosecutors, and then we have no idea why you did it and why he took the actions that he did. Do you guys trust that Cuomo did it for purely ethical, real, ideological, principled reasons? Well, how could you possibly trust that? Even if Cuomo's a great guy, how could you trust that? He got bribed, because he gets systematically bribed, by the way, yes, like all other politicians do. But the New York Times and everyone else is like, oh, well, that's, yeah, well, hey, another coincidence. Okay, no big deal, let's just move on here. But look, I agree with Anna. People are sick of it. They're mm-hmm. absolutely sick of it. And Weinstein is a poster child for the rich and the powerful getting away with things that they shouldn't have no business getting away with, and that you know you wouldn't get anywhere near getting away with, and nor should you. But he might, you know it. And he had, and he did for all those years. Now, New York Times before also covered for Weinstein when they mainly sold ads, and that's how they got their revenue. NYC's companies were huge advertisers with the New York Times. Now they mainly work on a subscription model. All of a sudden, they run the Weinstein story. Now, but Cuomo, look, there is a little bit of truth to what the right wing says about the media. It's not that they're liberal. It's not anywhere close to that, right? But do they know the Democratic politicians and give them more of a break? Is that not progressives, but establishment Democrats? A little bit, yeah. Because if Trump had done this, they'd be all over him. Cuomo does it, just keeps on taking bribe after bribe after bribe. I grant you, it's legal, but it's brazen in Cuomo's case. He'll take money from the real estate industry and then turn around and give giant tax breaks to the real estate industry in New York. Oh, I am helping to stimulate the economy. I've seen this game before.
It's happening in LA as well.
Yeah, yeah, and I see it with the Republicans, I see it with Democrats. The only people who can't see it, apparently, are the rest of the media who've been trained to accept corruption as the status quo and not to challenge it. So not only do I challenge Cuomo on this, but I challenge the New York Times. This is, you missed Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and now you're sitting on your hands as you have a deeply corrupt governor. What are you doing? I thought you were the great, mighty New York Times. You might want to get to it.
Yeah. All right, moving on to other news. White House counsel Don McGahn will no longer be the White House counsel. He will be out of the White House in the fall. Apparently, McGahn learned about this through Twitter when Trump announced it. He said through his tweet that White House counsel Don McGahn will be leaving his position in the fall shortly after the confirmation, hopefully, of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court. I have worked with Don for a very long time, or for a long time, and truly appreciate his service. So it was a nice complimentary, you know, reaction or response to McGahn. But Trump has had some issues with McGahn as of late. Remember, there was a huge story involving Don McGahn testifying or cooperating with Robert Mueller, the special counsel in the Russia investigation. There was also a little bit of conflict with Trump on the issue of whether or not to pardon Paul Manafort. And they have been butting heads, so it appears that Trump made this decision, and who knows who he plans on replacing Don McGahn with.
No, but here's the fun part of the story. McGahn apparently found out through Twitter.
Yeah, I said that.
Yeah, and so he's like, oh, were you going to tell me that we had not coordinated at all on when I was going to leave and how we were going to announce it? Come on, McGahn, you're surprised. You know what a clown he is. You know what a buffoon he is. And then McGahn, we found out a couple of weeks ago in the New York Times, had talked to the prosecutor, special counsel, as Anna told you. And Trump apparently didn't know. So at the time, Trump played it off as, this is a quote from him, I allowed White House counsel Don McGahn and all other requested members of the White House staff to fully cooperate with the special counsel. Okay, all right, great. You allowed him to cooperate, so everything's hunky-dory, right? And then why did you turn around a couple of weeks later and be like, McGahn is leaving, okay? We had a good relationship, but he's gone, okay? McGahn's like, what happened?
So we had covered that story in detail when it originally broke, but just to remind you all of what happened, Trump had his own personal lawyers at the White House, and they were the ones who were encouraging McGahn to cooperate with Mueller. And it was because these attorneys who are no longer working with Trump genuinely believed that Trump was innocent, that he hadn't done anything with Russia. And so they're urging McGahn to cooperate. McGahn and Trump don't trust each other at this point. So McGahn was under the assumption that Trump was trying to screw him over and put him in a position where he would take the fall for this whole Russia investigation. So McGahn's like, okay, fine, I'm going to cooperate, and I'm going to cooperate fully. So he spoke to Mueller for 30 hours. But here's the thing, Trump and his attorneys are so incompetent that none of them asked for a briefing on what was discussed. They had no idea how long he had spoken to Mueller. It was a complete and utter disaster.
And my favorite part of that story was, many months later, after he testified, and McGahn talked about what Trump did with Comey, how he'd asked Sessions to, you know, stop being the attorney general, or was looking to find out how he can get Sessions to stop being attorney general because he had recused himself and would not protect Donald Trump from investigation. And by the way, we found out also that McGahn threatened to resign at one point when Trump wanted to fire Mueller. So all that was what he testified to. And then McGahn sat around waiting for the rest of Trump's strategy. And he's like, wait, why isn't he throwing me under the bus? I thought he was going to do that, and that's why he allowed me to testify. And then realized, oh, he has no strategy. And so the New York Times wrote that McGahn and his own personal lawyer, it dawned on them later that Trump had no plan and that he actually was not being adversarial to McGahn. He just didn't know what he was doing. McGahn's like, oh, no. But point, he had already given the evidence to Mueller, which is a great break for us. And what did I tell you? He's going to get caught, Trump is, because he's deeply stupid. And he couldn't manage his way out of a paper bag, including in this case. So, and here's my third favorite part of the story. And a White House insider that often deals with the, in fact, he's a former White House official, he's anonymous talking to The Hill, said the White House counsel's office, that's McGahn's office, is an island of competence and professionalism in an otherwise chaotic and amateurish West Wing. That sounds about right. And he said, of course, that
it'll be a tremendous loss if you have to wonder if this well-oiled machine,
oh, please,
starts to sputter a bit after he leaves.
Okay, there's no well-oiled machine. So you can tell the guy actually is very much a Republican,
yeah,
and supportive, but he's like, yeah, it's mainly because of McGahn's competence. Otherwise, it's chaotic and amateurish.
McGahn has actually done a lot for Trump. He helped Trump confirm 60 federal judges. 60.
And what does he get in return? Well, you weren't super loyal to Donald Trump personally, and you didn't cover up his crimes. So one day you wake up, and there's a tweet saying, oh, you're leaving, when you didn't even know you were leaving.
I think it's a good thing for McGahn.
Oh, yeah. No. If I'm McGahn, I'm thinking, oh, thanks God.
Yeah.
I thought it'd never come.
Yeah.
It's like the tweet from heaven.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you some updates on foreign policy stories. We're going to talk to you about what's going on in Puerto Rico. Lots of news. Yeah. You don't want to miss it. Come right back.
All right, Casper, you win. We'll talk about your podcast. We're just talking about it during the break. Okay.
Yeah.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, go to get the TYT network. I mean, obviously go to tyt.com/podcasts. Okay. That's the easy way to get it. No filters among them. Hashtag mm-hmm. no filter.
No, we took the hashtag out. There was a lot of confusion. We're keeping it simple. No filter, two words, go.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is it two words? I always get confused. Like, because anytime you do a hashtag or you do anything online, you have to scrunch the words up, which greatly frustrates me.
So the show's name, I love the hashtag no filter like tag on Instagram pictures where you literally don't use a filter on the pictures. And I'm like, you know what? I'm no filter.
Because no, that's you. Yeah.
Like sometimes on the pictures I do have a filter, but not here. Not here. There's no filter here. And then also I wanted to do
ironic.
A show where I'm completely unfiltered.
I think we got that.
Yeah. But like unfiltered in a number of different ways. Like unfiltered in that I don't hold back in sharing my opinion, but it is well-researched stuff. And then more importantly, like there's no one else there. It's just me.
Oh.
No filter.
Okay. In other words, okay, gets rid of this guy. Okay. So anyway, check it out. TYT.com/podcast. Also, We the People with Nina Turner. Fantastic. And there's Bernie Sanders on there, Susan Sarandon. Check out all of her podcasts. And then one where we put them all together, all of our best guests in one. So please check out We the People with Nina Turner and No Filter and The Young Turks, all part of our podcasting network. You could also get it on our app, tyt.com/app. Okay, now let me read a couple of quick comments for you guys. Hit and Dave, back on YouTube Super Chat. We talked a lot about him last night. And he said, spot on with my name last night. Tell Ben it's Indian, not Jewish. Longtime fan.
Ooh.
All right. And now that I know I'm pronouncing it right, Hidden Dave is like the greatest name ever.
Mm, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, you guys going out drinking with Hidden Dave? Of course we are. Why do you think he's named Hidden Dave?
His name sounds like it could be a bar. Like a bar's name. Like a
let's go hang out at Hidden Dave.
Yeah. There's Dave and Buster's, which is a fun like adult arcade place.
Oh, you put them together, Hitting Dave and Buster's?
Yes.
It's over. Okay, anyway, Mescure A writes in, TYT member here, I think you guys should list TYT Sponsor Services promo codes on the website. I registered for NordVPN using the promo code. Hey, all right. Bless your heart. Thank you for making that observation. We write all these down and get to them 7 months later. But we do, and we appreciate it. And of course, our sponsors appreciate it. By the way, NordVPN.com/TYT. Okay, a couple of tweets for you guys. Pat Trago writes in, come on, didn't Trump pay Florida Attorney General $25,000 from his trust?
Yes.
To drop investigation against Trump University?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. Pam Bondi.
That's right, and she's now running for Senate, yes? Yes, that's right. Great, great point. P. McEnroe says, I wonder if that's Patrick. I think that Michael Schur is friends with Patrick McEnroe, so there's like a 7% chance that that's actually him. Anyway, the only non-corrupt thing about Andrew Cuomo is that Chris Cuomo was not allowed to cover him. Part of the reason I read that is because the other night on one of the shows, I made the mistake of saying Andrew Cuomo when I meant Chris Cuomo. Chris Cuomo was the one that again was saying about a progressive. That was last night. Andrew Gillum, he said, he's for Medicare for all, but how is he going to pay for that?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Cuomo, I kind of like the guy, but he says that every time. Drives me crazy. All right. And my favorite, Dangos writes in, looks like corruption is still the status quo. Mo. Come on. That's really good. All right, we got to go. What's next?
All right. Several months ago, Donald Trump met with Kim Jong-un in a summit meeting in order to discuss denuclearizing North Korea and possibly bettering relations between the United States and North Korea. But it turns out that several months later, after Trump had agreed to stop doing joint military exercises with South Korea because he considered them provocative, he has decided to continue doing those joint military exercises because North Korea hasn't actually denuclearized. North Korea hasn't actually done anything, which is what we predicted would happen. And so as a result, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, during a press conference, addressed this and essentially said, that suspension lifted. Take a look.
As you know, we took the step to suspend several of the largest exercises as a good faith measure coming out of the Singapore summit. We have no plans at this time to suspend any more exercises. We will work very closely, as I said, with the Secretary of State, and what he needs done, we will certainly do to reinforce his effort. But at this time, there is no discussion about further suspensions.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
you must unlearn what you have learned.
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
So I want to also correct myself because I made one small error in the intro to the story. So North Korea did send back some remains of American soldiers that they had essentially kept. So that's one thing that they did. But they're still moving forward with their nuclear weapons development. There is documentation proving that. And so it was clear to me because Trump had a bargaining chip, and that bargaining chip included the joint military exercises. But all it took was one meeting where an individual said complimentary things to Trump, and he's immediately regurgitating North Korean propaganda talking points. And one of those talking points was that these joint military exercises were provocative. So, Cenk, before you jump in, I just want to refresh everyone's memory about the propaganda tour that Trump went on immediately after meeting with Kim Jong-un.
Suggested, and I want to do, is we're going to stop the war games.
Flying to South Korea to practice and then drop bombs all over the place and then go back to Guam.
We are going to get out of the war games that cost so much money.
So under the circumstances that we're negotiating a very comprehensive, complete deal, I think it's inappropriate to be having war games.
And I'm doing something that I've wanted to do from the beginning. We stop playing those war games that cost us a fortune.
The war games are very expensive. We pay for a big majority of them. We fly in bombers from Guam. I know a lot about airplanes. It's very expensive.
Because I think, number one, it's very provocative, and I want to do it, and I think they're very happy about it because it is so provocative.
And I think it's very provocative. It's a very provocative situation.
You know, I wanted to stop the war games. I thought they were very provocative, but I also think they're very expensive.
It really is something that I think they very much appreciated.
And I think it's very provocative, especially, George, since we're getting along.
Oops. So they then followed up and asked Jim Mattis, well, President Trump said over and over again that the war games were very provocative, and you're now doing that again. So are you trying to provoke North Korea? That's an excellent question. Because now, normally, no, we're just doing military exercise like we've always done. Mm-hmm. But the president said it was provocative. So are you trying to provoke them? Then Mattis had to kind of backpedal and say, well, I mean, we're not turning them back on. They've never been turned off.
We're going to see how the negotiations go, and then we'll calculate the future, how we go forward. In the future, how we go forward.
Yeah, he can't answer it because the president's an idiot. And so he does, you know, what? I don't blame Mattis. What's he supposed to do? And Trump put him in an untenable situation. So now let's have fun. In the middle of those clips you saw, now I know a lot about planes. They're expensive. First of all, who says I know a lot about planes? Okay, I'm moving on.
And then follows it with they're expensive as if no one knows that. No one knows that.
No, but you know why he said it? Because remember, he had Trump planes. Mm-hmm. And as usual, went bankrupt.
Yeah.
He's like, I know casinos. They're very expensive. I know steaks. They're very expensive. And because you bankrupted every company you ever had. That's why you think they're expensive, you moron. So speaking of how stupid he is, I don't know if you guys have heard me say that before. So here are the things that he said about North Korea, other than the videos that we just showed you. There is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea. Who makes a statement like that? Mm-hmm. When they hadn't done one single thing to denuclearize. All they had done was compliment your stupid, stupid, childish ass. So they went and they're like, oh, Mr. President, you're a very important person. He's like, good, there are no more nuclear weapons in North. But there is. At least they're trying to make them, and they didn't denuclearize at all. He also said it will be total denuclearization, which is already starting to take place.
What?
Not remotely true.
Yep.
It was not starting to take place. And of course, there's not total denuclearization. And they said, well, these negotiations, what was the result? Correct answer is, hey, it was a good beginning. You should talk to your enemies, and that's how you get the peace. In which case, we'd have been like, hey, Trump, nice work. Good start. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we said that before he went, right? So we're on the record. Instead, he comes out and goes, tremendous success.
So, look.
Okay, but like you can say, hey, it's a good beginning, but if you say it's a tremendous success and they don't have nukes anymore, then they have no incentive to actually denuclearize because you already announced to the world that they did. They can just keep going, and then you look like an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, look, he bungled it in so many different ways, and that's what we were talking about on the show at the time of this summit. And people got on us. A lot of progressives got on us because they're like, oh, you want war, you don't want peace, this is a good thing. No, but this is a political issue, a foreign policy issue that's not black and white. It is complicated, and yes, it's a good thing to sit down with your enemies and have a conversation, a negotiation about how to move forward in order to accomplish a peaceful agreement. Trump is incapable of that. So when that summit took place, yeah, we criticized him because he was like, oh, here's my bargaining chip. I give you.
Okay.
I give you bargaining chip. No, but you hold on to the bargaining chip and make sure that you have verification, you have a timeline, you have some indication, some proof that they're actually going to denuclearize. And then you talk about what you're going to give them in return, including suspending the so-called war games. By the way, I don't really care about whether or not we do war games. But if it's a bargaining chip, then yes, let's use that to our advantage. He didn't do that. He gave everything away immediately, and North Korea did nothing. They continue developing nuclear weapons.
I will end on three goofy points.
Okay.
Okay, number one, I would love to play poker with Donald Trump. Oh my God, Mr. Trump, your hair is so nice. It's glowing nice and orange. Fine, I have a Jack 10 unsuited.
I don't even know what that means, but yes.
Right. Okay, that was easy. Okay. Number two, now this is super random. I'll get back to Trump in a second. I love the names of these exercises. The one that's going to happen, but these ones, they're like mediocre, they could be better. The one that's about to happen, because it's back on, is Fall Eagle. Anything with a bird sounds good.
Especially like, eagle.
Oh, anything with an eagle. Yeah, I don't even know what fall is, and it doesn't sound great. F-O-A-L,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But it's got eagle in it, good enough, okay? You could be like Mighty Dove, and I'm like, yeah, let's do this. Yalla, let's go. The one that was canceled earlier, although now Mattis is having to say, well, nothing was canceled, but it was. It's back on, even though it never went off. Anyway, the one that was canceled was Ulchi Freedom Guardian. I don't know what Ulchi is. Maybe it's a Korean word. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. They could take that out. Okay, we don't speak Korean. Okay, I know they do. Anyway, Freedom Guardians of the Galaxy. Maybe slightly goofy. Yesterday in the postgame, after our gigantic long coverage of the elections, John and I discussed what a Blue Falcon is. Mm-hmm. Now, Blue Falcon sounds pretty cool.
But it's not.
In the postgame, but it's not. It turns out it's military slang for something that is very wrong, okay? If you want to find out what that is, A, you can just Google it in 5 seconds, or you could become a Young Turks member and get that fun postgame from yesterday, tyt.com/join. All right, and then what was the last thing I was going to tell you guys that was about goofy Donald Trump? Oh, yes. And then the last thing is, look, should you talk to your enemies? Just to double down on what Anna was saying. Of course, we've been through it 100 times. Now, the question is, what do you get, right? So, should you talk to Iran? Dick Cheney said no. Iran was ready to cooperate with us back right after the 9/11 attacks because they also hate Al-Qaeda. And then later, actually after we invaded Iraq, in a surprising move, this is a rare moment where the neoconservative movement had a chance at working. Iran did get a little spooked and was like, okay, maybe we talk to you about, you know, some of the things you want. And Dick Cheney's like, we don't talk to evil.
So stupid.
So dumb. Okay, on the other hand, so Obama goes to talk to Iran. They get a good deal. We actually do denuclearize Iran. They just had energy programs, they didn't have weapons programs, but great, fantastic. Let's, you know, take away any potential for nuclear weapons. Now, if Trump had gone to Iran, we would have said, good, I'm glad he's going to Iran. But what if he came out of the negotiations and said, it's a tremendous success. We gave them San Antonio, but still, it's wonderful. You're like, I wanted you to talk to them. I didn't want you to give up a US city.
No, but
isn't that, how obvious is that? It depends on the goddamn deal. How obvious is it?
If the situation with North Korea wasn't enough evidence to prove that Trump is a horrible negotiator, just consider what he was really genuinely thinking about doing for Vladimir Putin after the Helsinki summit.
Oh.
Remember? Putin wanted to do the shakedown of US officials. And Trump was like, oh no, it sounds like a good deal. What? What?
So if you think that Trump is not corrupt, then you've got to think he's the worst negotiator ever. Because Putin's like, hey, why don't you hand over your former US ambassador for me to interrogate and a couple other people, and you might never see them again. But in return, I will let you talk to our agents, our spies, who of course will give you nothing in return.
Right.
And I will help you with your investigation of me. Oh, come on. Any rational person with just like an IQ of 49 or higher would go, wait, you're going to help my investigation of you. And the way that you're going to do that is I'm going to give you all the documents in that investigation of you. You'd laugh the guy out of the room. Trump's like, that is a very good deal. I'm very interested in that deal. Iran would just have to be like, hey, Donald, you want a ham sandwich? I'll give you, I mean, we're Muslims, we're against ham, but I'll give you a ham sandwich, but throw in Seattle too. It's like, oh, deal. Deal. I go, oh, you guys would never believe this. I got a ham sandwich. I did. I gave up San Antonio and Seattle.
All right, let me sign the paperwork before you make me that sandwich, though.
Yeah. Like- oh, turns out I didn't get it. Okay, but still, I'm thinking about getting a Nobel Peace Prize.
Ugh. Disaster.
How's that coming along?
All right, let's move from one Trump failure to the next. Hurricane Maria. We have a new death toll in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria. The official death toll was 64, and that was the previous official death toll. Everyone knew that that was not accurate. And luckily, there has now been an investigation into the number of people who have died, and the number is actually closer to 3,000. So officials said that 2,975 people died in Puerto Rico following Hurricane Maria last September. The revised death toll, as I had mentioned, is nearly 50 times the previous estimate of 64. So the numbers are different because of a number of different things. The initial number of 64 only counted the people who had died during the hurricane because of the storm. So if the building that they were in collapsed, or if they were hit by debris and died as a result of that. But a number of people died, thousands of people died after that because of all of the issues that they had to deal with in their infrastructure, the lack of electricity, the spread of diseases. Those counted, or this new number, counted those who died in the 6 months following the storm as a result of poor health care and a lack of electricity and clean water. Repeated power cuts also led to an increased number of deaths from diabetes and sepsis. Now, they are asking the U.S. government, Congress specifically, for additional funding, $139 billion in recovery funds. With the GOP in charge, I question whether or not that's even possible, but that is what they're asking for. And I think, you know, as a U.S. territory, Puerto Rico needs more help. They certainly did not get the same amount of help that Texas and Florida did after they were hit with hurricanes in the same time period. But yeah, this is insane. We have video of Trump patting himself on the back because he thought that his response to Hurricane Maria was excellent. But
yeah,
before
hold
we do,
on. Yeah, let me give you just a little bit of context before we go to Trump. So this is now the second deadliest storm in U.S. history, at least over a century. Now, it's a little apples and oranges because the deadliest storm was in Galveston, Texas in the year 1900. And at least 8,000 people died, in that case, within hours. They obviously didn't have great warning systems at the time, but the storm hits out of nowhere, kills all those people. Now, the number is probably way higher because just like in this case, I'm sure a lot of people died afterwards through in the devastation. But in recent storms, they count the devastation as part of the death toll. But that's actually, in a sense, more tragic because a storm hits out of nowhere and a tree falls on you and you die. It's hard to prevent that. The early warning system, et cetera, and a good way to evacuate people is super important. So you can prevent a lot of that, but it's harder. But in terms of making sure the electricity doesn't get cut off so that a patient in a hospital doesn't die, that is really preventable. But we chose not to prevent it.
Exactly.
And that makes this death toll even more tragic.
Right. And look, this hurricane hit in September of last year. Mind you, at this time, the Trump administration was really pushing for those tax cuts for the wealthy. And when it came to the response efforts or the relief efforts in Puerto Rico, Trump kept saying over and over again that it was expensive, that this was really hurting the U.S. budget. We're talking about a U.S. territory. If you're really concerned about the U.S. budget, and if you're worried about not having enough revenue or enough, money in the federal government to help Americans, well, then maybe don't cut taxes. Anyway, I want to go to this video because, again, Trump really congratulated himself because he thought that his response to Hurricane Maria was excellent.
Mick Mulvaney is here right there, and Mick is in charge of a thing called budget. And I know you appreciate our support because our country's really gone all out to help. And it's not only dangerous, it's expensive. I hate to tell you, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget a little out of whack. because we've spent a lot of money on Puerto Rico, and that's fine. We've saved a lot of lives. You can be very proud of all of your people, all of our people working together. 16 versus literally thousands of people. You can be very proud. Everybody around this table and everybody watching can really be very proud of what's taken place in Puerto Rico. If you look at a real catastrophe like Katrina, and you look at the tremendous hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that died, and you look at what happened here with really a storm that was just totally overpowering.
So after every Trump video, you have to unpack it, 'cause he packs so much stupid into such a short period of time. So let's break down all the horrible things that he said. First of all, just comically in the beginning, there's Mick Mulvaney in charge of a thing called a budget. Okay, all right, we're moving on.
No, he didn't even say the budget. He said in charge of budget. Like it was
in charge of a thing called budget.
Called budget, yeah.
Okay, what is that? What language is that? Okay, all right, but much worse. You should be really proud. Only 16 died. And Hurricane Katrina, a real catastrophe, killed more. It's not a game. It's not ratings for a reality show. And now, I guess what, they're supposed to be not proud? Because it turns out less people died in Hurricane Katrina than died in this storm.
Right.
The person who should not be proud is you, because instead of going to help those people, and if you had helped them at that point, when you were at that press conference, thousands of people might not have died because of the consequences of that storm. Instead, you were saying, as you saw in that clip, well, you know, you guys are really hurting our budget. Who's you guys? They're part of the United States of America. And look at his frame of thinking.
Right.
Houston and Florida should be helped, but Puerto Rico, you're hurting our budget.
So I want to elaborate a little more on, you know, the Hurricane Katrina versus Hurricane Maria rhetoric that you heard there. So he said Hurricane Katrina was a disaster. Hundreds upon hundreds died. Actually, more than hundreds died. Okay, it was about half of the number of people who died in Hurricane Maria, but it was in the thousands. So it was over 1,000, about 1,500, I believe.
Yeah, no, it's 1,833.
Oh, wow, close to 2,000 people. But the point that I'm bringing up is that was a horrible, horrible moment for the Bush administration. It put a huge stain on the Bush administration and will never be forgotten. And it was one of those horrible moments in American history where Kanye West came forward and said, George Bush doesn't care about black people, right? That was a famous line that Kanye West had made. Now, more people have died in Hurricane Maria's aftermath, but just this is a side note, Kanye West loved Donald Trump, no problem there. But Trump's sitting there talking about how he's better, like he's more successful. His response was better. No, it wasn't. It was actually worse. More people died in the aftermath of Hurricane Maria versus Hurricane Katrina. And you're right, it's not a competition, but he's the one who's decided to make it a competition when in reality, his efforts should be focused on helping people. Again, American citizens who desperately need your help.
Yeah, so in terms of comparing the two presidents, right? So Bush was really late in responding, seemed like he didn't care. He had the famous picture of him just looking at the city, but from above and not being on the ground, et cetera. And that was really terrible. But we had no idea what was in store for us, which was Storm Trump. And even like Bush used to say, I got my budget man. And we thought that was just the dumbest thing ever to call your budget director. Mm-hmm. Now, it always gets worse. It's like the Republican presidents are photocopies of each other. It just keeps degrading over time.
Yeah.
So now Trump goes in and goes, Mulvaney in charge of a thing called budget, right? And now Maria worse than Katrina, Trump more indifferent, and then goes throws paper towels at people, mm-hmm. and then comes back and says, they were beautiful, soft towels. He said that. Like, what, why are you, what, they were normal paper towels. What is wrong with you? So, as always with these guys, when you think it can't get worse, it does.
Yeah. I want to end with a quick video of the mayor of San Juan. Now, as you know, she has been very vocal, a vocal opponent of Trump. But I do want you to hear what she had to say after the numbers were updated and it was revealed that nearly 3,000 Puerto Ricans died in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. So let's skip ahead to video 5.
The Trump administration killed the Puerto Rican with neglect. The Trump administration led us to believe that they were helping when they weren't really up to par. Shame on President Trump. Shame on President Trump for not even once, not even yesterday, just saying, look, I grieve with the people of Puerto Rico. Shame on him. First of all, he doesn't even take a time of the day to say, look, I'm sorry that you people are grieving. I'm sorry that your people died. And secondly, what is there to be proud of? 2,975 dead? Is that what he's proud of? Is he proud of that maybe this is over now and he thinks it's going to go away? Well, it's not going to go away. We're going to remember this forever. This will be a stain in his presidency for as long as he lives. Because rather than coming here to support us, he came here to throw paper towels at us.
And if you don't, that's a great line, and it's unfortunately true. If you don't remember that famous video, let's go to video 4 and remind you what he did. And you could tell in that flippant attitude he had in the press conference, he carried that over. He's supposed to be helping the victims. Maybe some of their family members died. They're all devastated. They've lost everything. They came for just to get paper towels. That's how desperate a situation they're in. And here's how Trump handled it. He lacks any ability to empathize with people.
Yep.
And that's a defining trait of sociopaths. No empathy at all.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number 1 by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Okay, quick break. Now, when we come back, we have not yet gotten to the 2 best stories, but they are coming up. So one is immediate nuclear racism from the Republican in the Florida governor's race against Andrew Gillum, the progressive champion that won last night. And boy, I've got a lot to say about that. And then Donald Trump, we told you yesterday about his meeting with evangelical leaders. He actually said
worse.
Yeah, worse. I mean, it's a murderer's row of horrific things to say. He talked about the violence. We talked about that yesterday a little bit in the show. But there are 3 devolving quotes there that I don't want you to miss. And the last one actually for the first time convinced me, no, he might actually, I've always thought he was painfully dumb. But his mind might actually be deteriorating worse than we realized. Because I want you to listen to it and see if you could decipher what in the world he means. It's a little frightening, actually. So, and of course, a lot of you get the whole show. Some of you watch and listen in different places and you don't get all of it. It's a 2-hour show, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on tyt.com/live. And if you want to get the whole show anytime you want, become a member. And join us at tyt.com/join. All right, we'll be right back and talk about those stories. We hope you're enjoying this free clip from the Young Turks. If you want to get the whole show and more exclusive content while supporting independent media, become a member at tyt.com/join today. In the meantime, enjoy this free segment. All right, back on Young Turks. Let's go to some comments here. On Twitter, NoiseBot says, will postgame be coming to YouTube TV or will that strictly be for site members? So for those of you watching us on YouTube TV, and we are on a lot of different platforms, thank you. We really appreciate it. Unfortunately for you guys, That's the one show that we had to take off of YouTube TV because it's really just for our members. And I appreciate you watching anywhere. And we've got so much programming. So we got a lot of free programming. We don't want to take that away. We want to spread the progressive message everywhere. But the post game is for members. TYT.com/join. iBlake7Mac has a nice tweet. He says, I hear Cenk's watch jingling, and I run back into the room to see his Trump impression. Makes me laugh every time. Thank you. By the way, it's not the watch. It's the buttons on the jacket. Okay? So, and when I do the Trump impression with my hands, sometimes
it's amazing that the mic picks that up.
Yeah. No, the other jacket I have actually has really loud buttons. They're metal buttons. I like the jacket, but anyway, apparently it's a good sign for you. So that's old school notification system. Anyway, Old Turk writes in, come on, Kanye, you can say it. Donald Trump doesn't care about Latino people. True. Peter Hamby writes in YouTube Super Chat, what a moronic child. His time as POTUS has been provocative to the U.S.
Yeah.
Scott Roberts says, hey, Cenk and Anna, you use the best words. We appreciate it. Oh, yeah. Scott Robden, you have the best YouTube Super Chats. You have the strongest YouTube Super Chats.
They're tremendous.
Tremendous. Adrian Munoz says, if Bernie runs for POTUS and wins, of course. And since he loves you guys at TYT, does that mean the possibility of you taking part in the White House daily briefings and asking real hard questions? Look, dude, I don't know what's going to happen. It's 2 years of madness before we find out who wins. And by that time, if things go well, I will have been thrown under 17 buses.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I think more.
Yes. So I don't know if at that point, there'll be political considerations of yada, yada. I'm prepared for that. And God bless. Okay. The only thing that matters is victory and change.
Yeah.
But could we be in the White House press room? Of course, we should be. We should be right now. There's like lunatics in the White House press room, people from the Daily Caller who make things up all the time. They don't do news at all. We have opinion, but we never lie to you. We give you facts, then our opinion. Those guys make up stories nonstop. They're, of course, as always, projection. They're fake news. They get in a room and literally make up a story and put it on their website. They're allowed all over Washington. So, yeah. Washington loves the right wing. They can't stand progressives. Unless the president's a progressive, then it's a whole new ball game. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. Tallahassee, Florida's Mayor Andrew Gillum is running for governor in the state of Florida. He won the Democratic primary, and now Andrew Gillum is dealing with some interesting commentary from his Republican opponent, Representative Ron DeSantis. He's also hoping to become the governor of Florida. Now, during a recent Fox News interview, DeSantis used some interesting words. Don't want to give too much away. Let's take a look.
How do you plan to beat him?
Well, look, I mean, this is Florida elections are always competitive. And, this is a guy who, although he's much too liberal for Florida, I think he's got huge problems with how he's governed Tallahassee. He is an articulate spokesman for those far left views, and he's a charismatic candidate. And, I watched those Democrat debates. None of that was my cup of tea. But, I mean, he performed better than the other people there. So we've got to work hard to make sure that we continue Florida going in a good direction. Let's build off the success we've had on Governor Scott. The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda.
Okay, so that was on purpose. Let's start with bad and go to really ugly in his comments.
Can I play devil's advocate first?
Sure.
So you said that was on purpose. What if someone says, well, maybe he unwittingly used a word that is usually used in a racist context. So monkey is the word that I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Is there any chance that he unwittingly used that word?
No, he did it so we could do this segment. And of course, not about the Young Turks in particular, although that would be fun. No, so that all the press would call him racist. And why would he want the press to call him racist? The Trump strategy. What he's doing is he's planting his flag and telling all the what he perceives to be the white racist voters of Florida, I'm your guy. Don't worry, I'm not going to let this, I can't even say it, right? Mm-hmm. Person take over, okay? I'm not going to let this black guy take over. And so And I'll talk more about why I think he did it on purpose. First, let's break down the words. Mm-hmm. So he called him charismatic and articulate. Now, you might think, well, those are lovely words. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, oftentimes that's what people say about African-Americans because, and some people say it with not bad intent. Most people say it with not bad intent, right? Like, oh, he's articulate. Like, why are you noting that he's articulate? What's why? You know what I'm saying? Because to them, it's a bit of a surprise. But really, and a lot of people are mad about that. If you're not mad about that, I get it. I get it. And by the way, Democrats have done, Joe Biden called Obama articulate in a very similar way.
So that's kind of what I mean when I say, first of all, with DeSantis, it is playing devil's advocate. I really do think that he has bad intent. But there have been cases of well-meaning, well-intentioned people unwittingly saying something that's deemed offensive.
Now, the reason that he warmed up with articulate and charming is because he wants liberals to attack, and then he can go, I call him articulate, and they call me racist anyway. You see that? What are they doing? They're calling you racist, so come join me. Mm. So this is a trick that is actually very smart in politics. Republicans use it all the time. Democrats almost never use it because they're clowns. And what it's in his case, he's put a twist on it. It's planting your flag on a moral high ground and inviting your opponents to attack you. In his case, it's an immoral high ground. But his political calculation is that a lot of white voters in Florida will perceive that attack as against them because they hate the word racist. It gets under their skin. So he's inviting the press to attack him as racist and know that they can't help it, right? Because it was a deeply racist thing to say, not articulate. So he warmed up with that, and then he got to we can't monkey. And he hit that word. If you watch that tape, mm-hmm. he almost paused for just like a millisecond and then was like monkey around. And so it was not an accident. This guy is a politician. He's a hateful guy, but he's not a buffoon. We talked about him last night before he ever did this. And we talked about him on the show before when he ran the ad saying that he was with Donald Trump. And Ben and I gave him a lot of credit last night, even though that was a horribly obnoxious ad. And in a lot of ways, he's a beta male for like, oh, Donald Trump, oh my God, I tell people. And he's talking to his baby and he's building walls and showing him how to hate Mexicans, mm-hmm. etc. But that in a Republican primary, that's going to work, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he did that on purpose. And given that context of him doing these kind of political strategy, this is clearly on purpose, inviting us to call him a racist so that he can take advantage of that. I think it is a miscalculation. I'll get to that in a second.
Okay, also I wanted to add a little more, I guess, evidence or strength to the argument that you're making. Because look, sometimes people will use an expression that they don't realize has a very negative dark past. So I remember one time Cenk said off the reservation mm-hmm. without realizing off the reservation was, you know, a phrase used in a negative way toward Native Americans. So monkey around, I don't know if monkey around has a negative past or whatever, but monkey around is a phrase. But he didn't use the phrase monkey around. He said monkey this up, which I think is an interesting. Like, there's a distinction there. You see what I'm saying?
He's stretching to use the word monkey.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, on the off reservation thing, you know, and there's different connotations at different time periods, too. In the old days, that was a perfectly normal thing to say. But if you thought about it, it's actually not a very pleasant thing to say about Native Americans. In the old days, people used the word Oriental instead of Asian.
Right.
And they didn't mean any harm by it. Now, if you use it, well, why are you using it when people find it offensive? It's like you're trying to insult people.
Yep.
Now, there's some old school folks who use the word colored because that's what they grew up with. They don't mean any harm by it, okay? So it's a variety. In this case, it's a 39-year-old politician who has played these racial politics before. In his very first interview, he hits you with three code words going from subtle to completely not subtle. And mm-hmm. and he's, in my opinion, as I've explained, doing it on purpose to rally his voters. So why is it a miscalculation? Because, man, it is going to animate voters on the other side. Republicans are used to hitting Democrats and Democrats not responding. Mm-hmm. But these are different times. A lot of Democratic voters, progressives, and minorities are super pissed at Trump. So then you go and call a historic candidate. Andrew Gillum would be the first African-American governor of Florida. And he had a shocking upset victory that people are really, really proud of. And then you call him a monkey on day one. Be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. I think that a lot of people are going to show up to vote, not just for Andrew Gillum, but against DeSantis. So he went to that playbook one too many times, and he's miscalculating how many racists there are in Florida.
So I don't know. I think you might be wrong about that. So the only reason why I say it is because Florida is one of the only states that has not only maintained its support for Trump, but has increased its support for Trump, right? And I know that because I've kept a close eye on Florida, because my husband's from there. Anyway, but nonetheless, I think that, yeah, like he's using this strategy and this tactic because he really genuinely thinks it's going to work. And he thinks it's going to work because it's the same rhetoric that Trump uses. And the voters in Florida seem to love it.
Yeah, no. Again, but let's talk about who the voters are. So one last analysis here as to why I think it's a political miscalculation. So people who are animated by the right wing, unfortunately, are fairly consistent voters. So when you look at likely voters, they're in that camp. So, and for example, here are some facts to back that up. Trump had stunning high turnout from white evangelical voters, the kind that are sticking with him no matter what he says about other people. 85% of them turned out to vote, and 81% of them voted for Donald Trump. Those are unreal numbers. They're incredibly high. So those guys are already animated to go out and vote for people like DeSantis, who say that they are in love with Donald Trump, and they do ad song. He has his wife talking about how awesome Donald Trump is.
Right.
You want to talk about a cuck, okay? But they love that. They're like, oh, a guy who cucks himself to our authoritarian leader. Good job. Those guys are already going to show up and vote. But unfortunately, a lot of Democrats don't vote. You know that in Florida, that is trending Republican and has been for years, there's actually more registered Democrats than Republicans. But God damn it, they don't go and vote. Until you call their historic candidate a monkey. And so it's more likely that Democrats will show up in anger and cost you the election. Because if both sides show up, Democrats win, even in places like Florida. So I think he's using an old playbook that worked for a long, long time, but not in this election. There is a blue wave. In one last piece of context for you guys in terms of facts. Last couple of primaries in on the Democratic side in Florida got about 800 votes voters out. This primary, 1.4 million. Gillum, until last week, was polling in fourth. Why was he polling in fourth but came in first? Because the poll looks at likely voters. But unlikely voters showed up to vote for Gillum. Young, progressive, minorities, okay? And so Gillum can bring those guys out. And then you help his cause by calling him a monkey, basically. And those guys are going to show up in force in the general election. And then you screwed yourself. And if that, if I'm right about that and that happens, oh, sweet justice. And no matter whether that works or doesn't work, whoever's right on the political calculation, let's just acknowledge DeSantis, you wanted it. Fine, you'll get it. You are a deeply racist person. And the fact that you're willing to divide us and to play on that fear and especially that hatred and do it on purpose makes you a despicable human being. And if you're a decent person in Florida, no matter what your race is or even what your party is, you're really going to proudly support that guy? No, you should show up to say, not on my watch. That's not the America I believe in. You know what game he's playing. Even if you're a Republican, you know what game he's playing. Are you going to let him get away with it, Florida? That's my question to you. By the way, yes. AndrewGillum.com. He was on Rebel headquarters. He's a fantastic candidate, and he will actually fight for the average person in Florida. We'll have the link down below if you're watching later on YouTube or Facebook. Click on the link, go to his website. At a bare minimum, find out what who he actually is as a person and as someone who's looking to represent you. Look at his policies and see if he's going to deliver for you while the other guy's throwing around names and trying to divide you. Okay, before we go, I want to do one other quick story about Gillum and Trump.
Okay. All right.
So do you have here, the tweet here? I'll read it. Okay, we got that So Andrew Gillum wins last night in Florida on the Democratic side, a shocking upset victory. It's not shocking to us. He was been on the program. A lot of great progressive groups were backing him, but he was pulling fourth. All of a sudden, he came in first. That's what happens if you actually get voters excited. He's a wonderful, wonderful candidate. So of course, when he wins, Trump has a tweet about it. Now, on the other side, on the Republican side, is DeSantis. Trump really likes DeSantis because DeSantis compliments him. In fact, he ran ads complimenting him, so Trump loves him. So the tweet is, not only did Congressman Ron DeSantis easily win the Republican primary, but his opponent in November is his biggest dream. A failed socialist mayor named Andrew Gillum, who has allowed crime and many other problems to flourish in his city. This is not what Florida wants or needs. Yeah, I give this to you not because I'm surprised that Trump is backing DeSantis or attacking Gillum, and not that he did it in a particularly obnoxious way. It's going to get worse. That's just an appetizer. But for now, hey, that's like one of the least offensive tweets that Trump has sent. No, it's just that he just doesn't care about the truth.
Nope.
Just not attached to it at all. Did he do? He's the president. He could research anything. He could have a million people researching things for him. Did he look into whether Tallahassee is actually a failed city? Did he look to see if crime was actually up? Of course not. He just immediately went to a lie right away. Oh, crime's way up. Now, is there some maybe racial undertones? Well, he's a black mayor, crime must be up. I don't know, and I don't care. You can put that aside. He said a lot worse, okay? The question is, did crime actually go up? And you can see what's happening. Look, I talked to Gillum on Rebel Headquarters. You should check that out, youtube.com/rebelHQ. And when I did, I had researched it already, and I knew that crime actually went down on his watch. But in case you don't know, on his watch, crime went down by 15% overall. Violent crime went down by 11%. So he did a fantastic job as mayor of Tallahassee. That's part of why he was considered an exciting candidate that a lot of people backed, because he was this young guy who had done an amazing job with Tallahassee. And Tallahassee, was it a failed state because it was a progressive guy who was running it? Commissioners in the area praised the 3.8% economic uptake driven by 95 proposed under construction developments in the pipeline within city limits. In Leon County, economic development officials forecast 6,300 jobs created and more than $253 million in wages spurred by those projects, according to papers in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
And Tallahassee did better economically in the time that he was mayor than the rest of Florida.
Right.
So as usual with Donald Trump, the exact opposite of what was true.
So not only did the economy do better under Gillum, just to mention specific numbers in regard to crime decreasing in Tallahassee and Leon County, according to the annual crime report by law enforcement, local law enforcement, Tallahassee and Leon County saw significant drops in crime in 2017. Overall, the crime rate dropped 15.1%. The Leon County Sheriff's Office saw a reported 18.7% reduction, and the Tallahassee Police Department saw a 14.3% reduction. But look, Trump will never, ever look into the facts or the details. He doesn't care because anything that he tweets will be taken as fact by his supporters and his base. He's gotten away with it over and over again. And then one final thing. It's laughable that a man who's facing multiple investigations for multiple criminal activities has any right, thinks he has any right to talk about crime or criminal activity. Like, he's facing not just the Russia investigation, he's facing an investigation for using his own charity to enrich himself. He's facing an investigation into illegal campaign contributions or taking them by paying off Playboy models and porn stars. Like, come on, you're really going to have a conversation with us about crime? You're a criminal, so you don't get to be the arbiter of who increases crime and who doesn't. You've increased crime, if anything.
I got one last thing, too. Please check out the interview I did with him. You can get it on our app too, tyt.com/app, because I asked them, how did you bring crime down? For the progressives that I interviewed where they were mayors and they brought crime down, I asked them, they almost always have the same answer. They actually care about the community, so they did community policing. And that's not going and cracking skulls in the community. No, it's asking them, hey, what do you need? What's the crime around here? How can we help decrease the crime? And instead of viewing the citizens as guilty, you view them as the people you're supposed to protect. And you know what they do then? they cooperate with police and they work hand in hand and they bring crime down. He could do that across Florida. So it does, again, in that case, it doesn't matter if you're a progressive or a conservative. Do you want crime to go down? The guy has a proven record of bringing crime down with a smart strategy. And meanwhile, you're right, Donald Trump's going around, you know, saying, do we really need the FBI? I mean, flipping should be illegal. Cooperating with law enforcement, Donald Trump says ought to be illegal.
Yep.
Why don't you actually vote for someone who believes in the rule of law and justice like Andrew Gillum? Okay, we got to take a quick break. The story we promised you earlier where Trump has a quote so maniacal, a series of quotes, but the last one is so maniacal, I think there's some chance that his mind is as little as it was, as fragile as it was to begin with.
Tender.
Is deteriorating. So we'll explain when we come back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.